All right, welcome to the Young Turks on a momentous Monday. You are going to hear several different ladies and gentlemen. Hold, we're going to get to that. People have been indicted, people have pled guilty. The game is afoot, it has begun. I'm going to break it down for you guys in the first hour here. We got Manafort, you got Gates, you got Papadopoulos. Okay, that's the most relevant one. We'll get to that in just a little bit. But on any normal news day, John Boehner lighting his former Republican colleagues on fire would be the lead story, but that's all the way in the third segment. Okay, so, and then Kevin Spacey, why the LGBT community is furious with him and how the media has mishandled that. That story is fascinating. That's in the second hour. Down goes Whitefish. A lot of people have gone down today. What a show. What a ridiculously large show today. All right, TYTnetwork.com/join to get the whole show ad free. We're starting, go. Okay. You guys ready for it?
Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
Yeah. Down goes Manafort. Kind of, so far. So we found out late Friday night that the first indictments were in, and it is in fact former campaign chairman Paul Manafort for Donald Trump's campaign who is indicted. Also with his buddy Rick Gates. That Rick Gates involvement super relevant as well. Now today Papadopoulos also we find out has pled guilty and is turning evidence against some of the folks in the Trump campaign. That is a very relevant story. But let's start with Manafort and then work our way to Gates. Explanations of what's happening. Former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort and one-time business associate Rick Gates were indicted by a federal grand jury on charges of conspiracy and money laundering in connection with an intensifying investigation into Russian meddling in the 2016 presidential election. Now, in the beginning, it will appear as if, wait, now this doesn't seem like it's necessarily related to the Trump campaign. Hold, because Rick Gates' connection makes that clear as to what is going on here. And so we will get to that in a second. More details about the charges. A 12-count federal grand jury indictment unsealed shortly after his surrender includes charges of conspiracy against the U.S., conspiracy to launder money, failure to file foreign bank reports and false statements. So if I had told you before that the former campaign manager of Donald Trump is negotiating his surrender and those negotiations have fallen through and he has had to surrender himself to the authorities, my guess is you would have had a dramatic reaction, and that is a reaction the whole world is having today. So don't let anyone tell you that Paul Manafort was not an important part of the Trump campaign. He ran the campaign. He ran it during the Republican National Convention. He ran it for months before that. And Newt Gingrich and many others are on the record as saying that he had a gigantic role in this. So there's no question about it. Now, Manafort ran Trump's presidential campaign from June 2016 until his resignation in August of that year, after reports surfaced about his past lobbying work for pro-Russian Ukrainian oligarchs. And that is the story at hand today about his work for those oligarchs. But he was actually informally with the campaign as an advisor starting in March. He took over as the lead in the campaign in June. And then once we found out about the oligarchs publicly, what he had been hiding, he was out in August. But then obviously it has had ramifications all the way to today. So when he was caught with his hand in the Russian cookie jar, he retroactively registered as a foreign agent and disclosed more than $17 million in payments for his firm's consulting work in Ukraine, which occurred before he joined Trump's campaign. Some of the things that he spent the money are hilarious. Apparently he's a huge fan of antique rugs, spending nearly $1 million on those. Was it worth it, Paul? Well, we'll find out if you wind up going to prison. Anyway, so of course this is the beginning and there will be a trial if he does not turn evidence against Donald Trump. The oligarch business started before he joined the Trump campaign. That is totally true. So let me explain a little further in a second. First, I want to give you a quote from Donald Trump. He says, "I've always found Paul Manafort to be a very decent man. He's like a lot of other people, probably makes consultant fees from all over the place. Who knows? I don't know. But I thought it was pretty tough to wake him up. Perhaps his family was there." Now, this is when the FBI had raided Manafort's house and gotten some valuable evidence from there. And Trump thought it was a tough thing to do, but he was signaling to Manafort, "Don't worry, I think you're a very decent man." And I mean, his work for the Russians, the pro-Russian Ukrainian government, I wouldn't know anything about that. Okay, well, we might find out soon enough. Manafort and Gates generated tens of millions of dollars in income as a result of their Ukraine work, according to the Department of Justice. What was the issue here? In order to hide Ukraine payments from the United States authorities from approximately 2006 through at least 2016, Manafort and Gates laundered the money through scores of United States and foreign corporations, partnerships, and bank accounts. Now, if this was the whole story and you left it right there, you'd say, well, I mean, he seems like a bad guy and he obviously tried to avoid taxes and seems to have done money laundering, if the federal government is right. And I hope they get him, and I hope he spends a long time in behind bars. But so far, not connected to Trump's campaign yet. Okay. Now, Rick Gates is a very important part of that because he's the associate of Manafort. I'm going to get to that in a second. I want you guys to know, though, how serious the government is taking this. U.S. has set bail for Manafort at $10 million. Rick Gates' bail is $5 million. Both men are under house arrest. Both pled not guilty. So if they're thinking of making a run to the Russian border, well, they're going to have to get past house arrest first. So that brings us to Rick Gates. Who in the world is Rick Gates? You probably haven't heard much about him until today. Well, he was a protege and junior partner of Manafort. And the partnership between the two, according to the New York Times, began almost 30 years ago when Gates interned at Manafort's old firm and has continued on ever since until recently. Now, Manafort gets caught with his hand in the cookie jar. He has to leave Trump's campaign in August, and then Steve Bannon takes over. Gates did not leave. As opposed to Manafort, who was forced out of the Trump campaign in August of 2016, Gates remained inside Trump world in an official capacity all the way till April 2017. So not only was he part of the campaign, he was part of the transition team, and then yes, part of the White House. So very much connected to Donald Trump administration as well as campaign. Gates was named to Trump's campaign's liaison to the Republican National Committee just hours after Manafort quit his unpaid chairmanship in August over his alleged ties to Russia. So basically, Gates picks up where Manafort left off. Manafort is very public. He was the campaign chairman. Everybody knows him. Not a lot of people know Rick Gates. So he just steps in and starts going exactly where Manafort was already headed. So where was that? Let's find out. Gates, who also worked with the same Russian oligarch who reportedly paid Manafort $10 million to promote Russian interests, led the outside group America First Policies to push Trump's agenda until he was pushed out in March. Some say March, some say April of this year. So he stayed on for a long time. Now, Gates started working with Manafort all the way back in 2006, a year after the Republican strategist struck a deal with Oleg Deripaska. Okay, now this is one version of their partnership. Of course, Gates had worked with Manafort earlier too. Now, Deripaska is an aluminum magnate and a Vladimir Putin ally. Gates also worked with Deripaska, who has been denied entry to the US over his alleged ties to organized crime, to support a private equity fund started by Manafort's firm and quote, democracy building and party building in Ukraine. So let's pause here because it's very important. So Deripaska is an oligarch connected to Putin. They want to support the former government of Ukraine, which at the time was the government of Ukraine, that was a pro-Russian government. So what they want to do, PR for them, they want to support them in the US through lobbying and several different ways that the Russians want to back the pro-Russian government in Ukraine at the time. So they hire Manafort and Gates to begin to do that. but they don't want necessarily their fingertips on it, and so or fingerprints, I should say, on it, and so they're doing this behind the scenes. Part of the reason why Manafort and Gates don't report the money and don't register as foreign agents. If it was all on the up and up, there is a way to do that. And by the way, that's legal in America. You just raise your hand and you go, okay, I'm a foreign agent for the government of Sweden, Netherlands, it doesn't matter, right? And I'm doing some lobbying work for them, or I'm doing other work for them. But they did not raise their hand. They did it in the cover of darkness. And there was a good reason for that, because they were getting a ton of money funneled to them. And apparently Manafort, if you believe the special counsel, also was not paying taxes on it, which is another issue, okay? So, but there was this twist in this story, and I had reported this many months ago when we found out the work that they were doing for the oligarch. At some point they had a split with the oligarch, and then the oligarch wanted to chase them down throughout the world, and these guys stopped returning his calls, because they had done some deal. It was about a $19 million deal where Manafort and Gates, apparently based on their pattern, decided, well, why not rip these guys off too, and just didn't do anything that they had promised they were going to do, underhanded or otherwise. They just didn't do the work. Now, crossing Russian oligarchs is not a smart strategy. And so I was confused by it at the time, and I shared that with you guys. I said, look, I don't get it. So if they're working with the Russians during the campaign, why would they be doing that if they had a split with the Russians earlier? Now we have the answer, and the answer is incredibly important. So let me give you some of the details on that. The firm had pitched Deripaska on a $200 million private equity partnership focused on Russia and Ukraine. And the arrangement was set up in 2007 in the Cayman Islands. Gee, I wonder if they were trying to cover it up by putting it in the Cayman Islands. But the relationship had disintegrated by 2014 when Deripaska sued Manafort and Gates over $18.9 million in unaccounted funds intended for the purchase of a Ukrainian cable provider. In the story I reported a couple months ago, I told you Manafort takes the money. He's like, oh, thanks for the 19. Oh, I'm going to set up that cable thing right away. He's like, I'm not setting up any cable thing, just take it and then put it into my account, and then we're done with him. And he stops returning emails and phone calls. Man, that takes some courage to do that. That's a really bad idea. And it turns out it is a bad idea, and they realize it later and have to make up for it. That's where the story connects to the Trump campaign and gets very interesting. A new trove of emails released earlier this month showed Manafort, who did not take his salary from the campaign, hoped to use his position with the Trump campaign to, quote, get whole with Deripaska. In other words, he owed the Russians money, and so did Gates. And they said, hey, don't worry. I'm on the Trump team now, and Trump will do you guys favors, and then we'll call it even. Now, whether Trump knew about that and was part of that deal is super relevant for the point of Trump and the rest of this investigation. But Manafort and Gates are in a world of trouble, because now we see exactly what their motivation was. If they laundered the money as is charged, they're going to be in enormous trouble for that. And you've got motive, you've got intent, you've got some serious jail time here. All right, one more part of this that's important. As Raw Story explains here, and I've shown you all the different places we're going, New York Times, Media, Raw Story, HuffPost, a lot of different people reporting on this story. In this case, Travis Geddes, he says, there's no evidence Manafort, who left in late August due to his ties to a pro-Russian political party in Ukraine, ever met with Deripaska during the campaign, but he did meet August 2nd with former business associate Konstantin Kilimnik in New York to discuss, quote, unpaid bills, end quote, current news. In other words, I'm on the Trump campaign, that's the current news. I've got unpaid bills to you guys, but I think we could make this thing whole. So I leave open the possibility as it regards to Manafort and Gates, because we got to work with the evidence that we have, okay, that Trump did not know that Manafort and Gates were trying to get themselves out of a $19 million debt they owed to a Russian oligarch tied to Vladimir Putin. And if it turns out they're the ones that colluded with the Russians in order to try to make up for their own problems and their own debts to the oligarchs, well, then they should go to prison for a long time, and it shouldn't necessarily touch anyone else. The problem is, they're not the only ones. There was, of course, also George Papadopoulos, who we found out had actually been arrested months ago, but and is now cooperating with the special counsel Robert Mueller. And Papadopoulos' story connects directly to Trump and his campaign and wanting to meet with the Russians about stolen emails from Hillary Clinton and the DNC, and how the Russians could help the Trump campaign with those emails. So that is another portion of this story, a very important one, and that directly ties the Trump campaign. Now, Manafort's a campaign chairman, so it directly ties to the campaign as well. But whether Trump knows about this, Papadopoulos might know, and he's now talking to the feds. Whether Manafort and Gates know, and they will be talking to the feds, is an important and interesting question we might find out as these charges proceed. For the moment being, Manafort and Gates, so us? No, 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 of course not. We're going to fight this all the way. And it might be that they're waiting to see if they're going to get pardoned. If Donald Trump pardons them, he should be immediately impeached. And you will know that he is definitely guilty. If he doesn't pardon them and he's like, man, I didn't know they were doing that. That's, you know what? Sure, you should investigate Uranium One and Hillary Clinton, but investigate those guys. I can't believe they had a breach of confidence with me, and I trusted them. It turns out they were trying to get, get whole with the Russians. That is not the direction Donald Trump has gone so far. He's all over Twitter going, this is outrageous, talk about Hillary. Oh, no, not Manafort, Gates, and Papadopoulos. All right, but we're going to find out, and especially if they turn, given the seriousness of the charges against them, and it seems like strong evidence against them, they're either going away for a long time, or we might find out what Trump's role is a little bit later. Either way, super interesting and very important developments. Okay, before I go to Papadopoulos, let me show you one more thing about Paul Manafort. Did Paul Manafort and the Trump campaign have financial ties to the Russians? Well, I think Paul Manafort did a better job in revealing that than anyone else. This is earlier when he was asked about it on CNN. He had this wonderful, hilarious answer.
So to be clear, Mr. Trump has no financial relationships with any Russian oligarchs.
That's what he said. That's what I said. That's obviously what our position is.
So today Manafort is brought in, has surrendered to the authorities. He's charged with 12 counts. He clearly had ties to the Russians, overwhelming evidence in the indictment, and that's why the grand jury brought it in. But she asked during the campaign, that was a clip from the campaign, whether Trump had financial ties to the Russians. That question has not been answered yet, but you can tell from Manafort's answer that the correct answer is that's our official position. I'm amused that he couldn't even bring himself to lie clearly there. I didn't say he didn't have ties, I just said that was our official position. I almost said he had ties, then changed my mind two different times in the middle of that answer. MC Stammer, can't touch this. Okay, that was as telling a clip as I've ever seen. One last thing, guys, if you see that clip and you think, no, Manafort's innocent, and so is Trump, I'm sure that was a perfectly good answer. I think these guys have no connections to the Russians. You're either stupid or disingenuous. And I don't care what side of the political spectrum you're on. You look at that and go, oh, I don't see anything. I don't see anything. He looks totally innocent to me. Really? Perhaps you have another reason for thinking that. I don't know what it is. I do know that that did not sound like an innocent guy who had no ties to the Russians. Okay, now we move forward to maybe the most important guy of all. I've been wanting to do Papa Do Preach for so long on a sidebar, and then this gift from the gods. Okay, anyway, all right. Today we found out that George Papadopoulos, a foreign policy advisor to Donald Trump campaign, turns out has struck a plea deal and is cooperating with the special counsel Robert Mueller. First, let's note for the record.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
Down goes Papadopoulos. Down goes Papadopoulos. Man, that's a mouthful. All right. He is actually down and out in that he has pled guilty. There is no more question about what he did, and we have the evidence directly from him. Who else he winds up getting in a lot of trouble? Well, that's what we're going to find out, and I have some evidence on that as well. So let's get to it. What did Donald Trump think of Papadopoulos? Well, he was a foreign policy advisor to him on the campaign, even though he was fairly young, about 30 years old at the time. But Donald Trump said he was, quote, an oil and energy consultant, excellent guy. So Trump thought he was an excellent guy. That's why he was an advisor to the campaign, okay? Oil consultant, as in the Russians don't like the oil sanctions we have, and he's trying to figure out how to lift them. Okay, now that's a little bit of speculation, but luckily we have a giant investigation, and we'll find out soon enough. And here is Papadopoulos in a picture with the Trump campaign, which they proudly put out to the public from earlier. Papadopoulos sitting about four seats away from Donald Trump at an important foreign policy meeting during the campaign. Okay, so we found out the news about Papadopoulos today, but it turns out he was actually arrested a long time ago. Let me tell you about that. We go do HuffPost here. Papadopoulos was first arrested on July 27th when he landed at Washington Dulles International Airport on a flight from Germany, and he's been cooperating ever since. Wonderful. Okay. The former Trump foreign policy advisor lied to the Federal Bureau of Investigation during an interview on January 27, 2017. The meeting was held as part of their investigation into the Russian government's efforts to influence the 2016 campaign and whether there was, quote, coordination between foreign operatives and the Trump team, documents show. Now, that we're at Politico now, and they are explaining the different parts of the indictment and the charges against Papadopoulos and what he has pled guilty to. So the issue here is he was trying to collude with the Russians and get the Trump campaign to collude with the Russians. So let's find out more. More from Politico. Papadopoulos met with a former, with a professor, I should say, from abroad who had, quote, substantial connections to the Russian government officials on or around March 14th, 2016. While Papadopoulos told federal authorities the meeting came prior to him joining Trump's campaign, it in fact occurred in early March, documents show, after he joined the team. The meeting also came about because of the professor's interest in Papadopoulos' role with the Trump camp. They again discussed campaign-related matters on April 26, 2016, after Papadopoulos had been on the campaign team for more than a month. So he comes in and tells the FBI in the beginning, no man, I don't know what you're talking about, and this coordination. Later, he's like, okay, fine, you got me, we coordinated. And then initially he had said, oh, the professor, I mean, he was just, he was talking to me before I was on the campaign. Later he says, yep, you got me. He was talking to me not only after the campaign, during the campaign, but the only reason that the Russian professor or the professor that had ties to the Russian government looked me up is because I was on the campaign and the Russians were trying to reach the campaign. And he went on to talk to someone else who was dubbed a relative of Vladimir Putin. Again, he was open and receptive to that, and he brought that to campaign officials, and they were open and receptive to that. We've got more evidence on that in a second. And so now more from Politico's summary here. Papadopoulos also lied to the FBI about the extent of his awareness of the professor's Moscow connections, calling him a, quote, nothing, who was just a guy talking up connections or something, when in reality he knew of his link to the Kremlin. So that's at a minimum lie number three. Talks to the FBI, he's like, that professor, that guy's nothing, I don't, connected to the Russians. And now he says, yes. And by the way, I'm very curious, and we don't have this yet, how the FBI knew he was lying and could prove it. That made him flip. But I don't know if they have emails. Remember, they raided Manafort's house and got all of his info. So, but that was a little bit later. He was arrested, you know, a long time ago, Papadopoulos was. So it's fascinating to see how this is going to play out. But they, apparently they had enough evidence on him. They show it to him and he goes, yeah, yeah, I was lying about that too. Yeah, I knew the professor was super important and was trying to connect me to the Russians. Okay. Papadopoulos admitted to authorities that the professor had told him that he possessed, quote, dirt on then Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton and her thousands of emails. The professor also discussed the emails during their meeting in April after Papadopoulos had joined the campaign. Okay, more revealed today. Documents say Papadopoulos, quote, over a period of months, sought to use the connections of the professor and the woman described as Putin's relative to set up a summit between the campaign and the Russian government. Now, that summit never wound up happening, but they were trying and they were encouraged from others in the Trump campaign, including apparently Manafort. And of course, now you know, we know that later the Russians reached out and got Donald Trump Jr. to set up a meeting with Manafort and Kushner and others involved in the campaign. So the Russians have been trying to reach the Trump campaign for quite some time, and Papadopoulos was happy to make that happen. And the point of the discussions here was stolen emails. So that is deeply problematic. Okay, so we'll get back to that in a second. Let me give you more details. Following a March meeting with his two contacts, Papadopoulos told a campaign supervisor of the potential gathering and was told that they would, quote, work it through the campaign. The supervisor added, quote, great work. Ultimately, the meeting between the Russian leadership and the campaign did not take place, as I explained earlier. So, campaign supervisor is like, oh, you want to set up a meeting? Great, let's work it through the campaign, and great job, way to go, way to set us up with the Russians on the stolen emails. Okay, let me go to the details of some of those emails, and you'll begin to see how guilty he was. He explains to the supervisor on the Trump campaign, quote, there's some interesting messages coming in from Moscow about a trip when the time is right. That is a trip for Donald Trump to go meet with the Russians. Now that would have been amazing, but that's the trip that didn't get set up and for reasons that you're about to see. Okay. For example, on or about June 19th of 2016, after several email and Skype exchanges, now this is from the actual Department of Justice filings. On or about June 19th, 2016, after several email and Skype exchanges with the Russian MFA connection, defendant Papadopoulos emailed the high-ranking campaign official with the subject line, new message from Russia. So for all the folks who have always said that there is no evidence that the Russians were trying to connect with the Russian with the Trump campaign, well, this'll do it. A giant email that says, new message from Russia. Okay, and when told about it, the campaign supervisor like, great work. Okay, now let's find out what was in the email that said message from Russia. Papadopoulos wrote in that email, the Russian Ministry of Foreign Affairs messaged and said that if Trump is unable to make it to Russia, if a campaign rep, me or someone else, can make it for the meetings, I am willing to make the trip off the record if it's in the interest of Mr. Trump and the campaign to meet specific people. How is that? Is that specific enough? The Russian Ministry of Foreign Affairs would like to meet with Mr. Trump. Great work. Okay. In one email, a high-ranking campaign official forwarded Papadopoulos an email to another campaign official and noted the need to, quote, communicate that Trump is not doing these trips and that they should send, quote, someone low level in the campaign so as not to send any signal. In other words, look, don't be a knucklehead. We're not going to send the big guy, we'll get caught. We'll send a low level guy, he'll get the message and we'll do as we're told. But just be cool. Oops, you wrote it in the emails. And by the way, to my earlier point, it appears they have the emails. They have internal Trump campaign emails. So tick, 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 tick. And remember, this is just the first day. This is when we find out who the first set of players are, who's already pled guilty, and what is maybe yet to come. So, as HuffPost explains here, the timing of when Papadopoulos found out that Russia had thousands of emails on Clinton is particularly noteworthy. Papadopoulos found out the hacked emails existed in April 2016. The leaked emails hacked from the Democratic National Committee staffers' accounts weren't made public until July of 2016. And the emails hacked from John Podesta, Clinton's campaign chairman, weren't released until October. So there is the Trump team that knows that the Russians, not WikiLeaks, not another member of the press or media, but the Russians and their foreign ministry had hacked, i.e. stolen emails from their opponent. They look forward to setting up that meeting. They think that that's great work, and they know it well before anyone else in the public does. And they look forward to colluding with the Russians about the stolen emails. And they say, but whatever you do, don't send Trump. We'll just get the low-level guy to get the info and take it from there. Look, everybody does oppo research, and there's a lot of legal ways to get opposition research. Nobody's begrudging Trump or Clinton for doing opposition research against one another. But when you go to a foreign government and you say, can you please share your stolen emails with us about our opposition? Well, that is another matter entirely. And it appears that is the matter before us. So we'll see what kind of information Papadopoulos has on other officials, what those officials then get charged with, and where that road leads. But right now, this is very, very bad news for the Trump administration. And that's why Trump is in mid-panic, sending out tweets as we speak about, oh my God, why aren't they looking into Hillary Clinton? You know why? Because she's not president. You are, at least for the moment being. Young Turks. All right, back in the Young Turks, you guys have too many tweets. I'm going to try to read as many as I can, and then I got stories for you guys that are continuing on the Trump investigation. Matt Strackbine writes in, the graphics guys at the Young Turks are champions in the field of graphic arts. God bless, thank you, we appreciate that. I wanted to start with that random compliment. Pratik Lala writes in, if Donald Trump ever calls you an excellent guy, start taking measurements for your orange jumpsuit. It's probably very true. I am Sack with an unacceptable tweet of Justice Boehner engaged. And the funny thing is, because of the Boehner news, I thought you were making a pun about John Boehner, who we're going to have for you in the next segment, and how he's going off on other Republicans. He's also engaged. Ashley B says, today has been a great day for news. So much winning for the American people. You know, Ashley, I'm almost tired of winning. Okay, hashtag TYT live to talk to us throughout the show. And then lastly, Jay Thermo says, looks like it'll be Mueller draining the swamp instead of Trump. And Adrian Ginn says, how come they get house arrest? What about all the poor people stuck in prison? Of course, there's two different systems. Okay, if you can imagine you were doing money laundering and evaded your taxes, do you think like, well, I do want to be sensitive to your interests, we'll let you do house arrest? Probably not how it would go. All right, let's go to Trump's reaction. So now that Manafort and Rick Gates, his protege and associate, have been indicted, 12 counts against Manafort, and now that we know George Papadopoulos, a campaign official for Donald Trump, has already turned evidence against him, let us now check the temperature of Donald Trump's Twitter account, where it's got to be, well, let's put it this way, climate change is finally in effect over there. So before the Papadopoulos news, here's Trump raging over the weekend, knowing that an indictment is coming, and at the time it was under seal. He said, never seen such Republican anger and unity as I have concerning the lack of investigation on Clinton-made fake dossier. Now $12 million. Okay, I'll get to why he keeps bringing up Hillary Clinton in a second. Then he goes on to say, the uranium to Russia deal, the 33,000 plus deleted emails, the Comey fix, and so much more. Instead, they look at phony Trump-Russia collusion, he puts in air quotes, which doesn't exist. The Dems are using this terrible and bad for our country witch hunt for evil politics. But the Republicans are now fighting back like never before. There's so much guilt by Democrats/Clinton, and now the facts are pouring out. And then big bold capital letters, do something! It's one of my favorite cries for help I've ever heard on Twitter. Donald Trump screaming in agony, do something! Okay, so why is he screaming about Hillary Clinton when the Russian investigation has nothing to do with Hillary Clinton? maybe he thinks it's inconceivable that he won, and he just can't believe it, like the rest of us. Like he wakes up every morning, like, really, I'm president? Shouldn't Hillary be president? Let's investigate her. Okay, not likely. The real answers are, number one, of course he wants to distract you. That's obvious, right? Squirrel. Okay, but the more important part of the answer is, they are later going to make the claim, and in fact, today it has begun. Well, Robert Mueller was the head of the FBI during the Obama administration when the Uranium One deal was done. So I don't know, maybe Mueller's biased. I mean, I'm not getting rid of him because he's doing the investigation against me. No, we had to get rid of him because he didn't do the investigation about Hillary Clinton years and years and years ago. That is why all of a sudden I'm outraged that he didn't do that investigation. No, they are setting it up as an excuse to fire Robert Mueller. If he is fired, Trump should be impeached immediately. Look, if you'd like to start an investigation on something that went wrong 6 years ago, that's an interesting conversation to have, and one we should have as alongside this one. And I think the Uranium One deal, I'm not with other progressives in the media, I think the Uranium One deal was problematic, but Hillary Clinton is not president. She didn't win. She's incredibly irrelevant. I don't even know if the statute of limitations ran on it. If you want to go back and investigate that, whatever. But that has nothing to do with Robert Mueller's current investigation of Donald Trump, which is of course the reason why Donald Trump is in an absolute panic. So he now this he had said back in June. So he began this theme as the investigation was picking up steam. I don't know if he knew that Papadopoulos was going to turn evidence at that point, but he said, "You are witnessing the single greatest witch hunt in American political history, led by some very bad and conflicted people." Hashtag MAGA. So even back then, he was like, Mueller, I don't, conflict of interest. I mean, he didn't do the thing against Hillary, so that's why when he finds out evidence, hardcore evidence, that people on my campaign did tax evasion, money laundering, had clear ties to the Russians, and wanted me to meet with the Russians, that's some of the things we learned out from the Papadopoulos case. No, don't worry about any of that. Mueller, conflict of interest. I gotta get rid of him, he's got the evidence, I gotta get rid of him. His panic gives you a sense of how connected Trump was to all this. Because the Manafort evidence, so far the things that have been presented in public are largely against Manafort and Rick Gates and their ties to Russian oligarchs. It is, as I stated earlier in the show, it is possible that Trump did not know anything about that, and he could just say, "Hey, listen, man, these guys were apparently trying to pay back a $19 million thing they had with the oligarchs. It has nothing to do with me, and I'm outraged by it. I can't believe that they potentially put my campaign in trouble." He's not saying that. Instead, he's saying, "I gotta get rid of Mueller. I gotta get rid of him. Uranium One, Benghazi dossier. I don't know. I'm panic." If you didn't do it, why are you in such a cold sweated panic over it? So now he finds out about Papadopoulos and all the things that happened this morning, and he gets even more crazed. He says, "All this Russia talk, right, when the Republicans are making their big push for historic tax cuts and reform, is this coincidental? Not." You're a child. He's the president. Can you believe he's the president? And he's saying things like, "Not." And it's not how it works anyway. You're not supposed to ask the question and then scream "not." You're supposed to say coincidental, "not." I have to teach him these things. Okay, anyway. What a child, what an unbelievable petulant child, and also guilty. All right, and by the way, the other reason for that tweet is, "Hey, rich people, all my donors and all the people in charge and in powerful, remember, I'm gonna give you tax cuts, I'm trying to give you tax cuts. Don't throw me away yet." Okay, and he goes on to say, "Sorry, but this is years ago, before Paul Manafort was part of the Trump campaign. Why aren't crooked Hillary and the Dems the focus?" I'm going to say for the billionth time now, because Hillary Clinton is not president. She doesn't have any power. She's wandering around in the woods. Your attempt at distraction has no subtlety. So it looks absurd. You're too, frankly, unintelligent to realize that, but you think just screaming squirrel louder will do the trick. No, it makes everyone realize that you're a screaming squirrel and that you want them to be distracted from the thing that we're supposed to be looking at. You're making it more obvious, which is usual for Donald Trump because he's not that bright. And his last tweet is a great example of that. And it goes with dot, dot, dot. Also, there's no collusion. He capitalizes. There's no collusion. If you weren't sure Donald Trump was involved before, after the tweets, you become more sure. Counterproductive as usual. Really, Trump supporters? You think he's screaming from the rooftops about killing Dr. Dossier, no collusion, because he's not at all worried? Perhaps he knows something that you Trump supporters don't, which is that he did it. Okay. Remember, they have the internal campaign emails. Tick, 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 tick. Okay, looking forward to it. Let's go to how they are going to respond to this to try to get out of this jam, okay? Now, Donald Trump's in a panic, screaming about how there's no collusion and we should be investigating Hillary Clinton and Jimmy Carter and Grover Cleveland. We're of course now worried about what the next steps he might take are. Preet Bharara was the person in charge of the US Attorney's Office in New York, very important position. He was one of the people that was let go by Donald Trump, potentially because Preet Bharara was investigating parts of the Trump team. Now, at that time, I wouldn't say that that was grounds to get ready for investigating Trump, because he did have a right to get rid of Bharara, and normally you do replace those US attorneys. He did it with very questionable timing, but okay, no problem. So Bharara goes on television now and explains how investigations like this might unfold, what are the things Trump might do, and what are the consequences of that. So let's watch.
So we know from history in recent months that the president of the United States has strong reactions to public events. If the president of the United States is sending some kind of message to the potential defendant or other witnesses, and that's in two categories. One, is he sending a message of intimidation in some way through himself or his cohorts, suggesting that people should not be talking and people should keep their mouths shut, which happens in life from time to time. And the second thing is whether or not he sends a message of reassurance.
So that would be obstruction of justice, and it wouldn't make the case any better for Donald Trump. It would arguably make it worse. Because if he's trying to intimidate witnesses in public through Twitter or any other statements that he makes, that is potentially a disastrous idea and could lead to obstruction of justice charges. Now, if Preet Bharara had a grudge against Trump, he certainly shouldn't be publicizing this on television. But it doesn't really matter because Trump can't help himself. He's a petulant child. So he'd be like, oh yeah, I'll do the obstruction anyway. And plus, he's in such a panic and he knows what the rest of us don't know, which is how deep his ties to the Russians actually go. So he might have to do these things that land him in trouble for obstruction of justice anyway, because the justice is what he's worried about. Okay, another point here made by Bharara on what could happen next.
We also have from the historical record in recent months that Donald Trump will avoid going through the regular process for pardoning someone who's an ally. In this case, it was Joe Arpaio, the sheriff in Arizona. And there has been much speculation about whether or not Donald Trump would hesitate to use his pardon power to get out of legal jeopardy and trouble any allies of his. And that's something I would watch very, very closely here.
See, that right there would be the most unacceptable. And because if you allow a president to pardon anyone who is part of wrongdoing connected to himself, that means we don't have a democracy anymore. And we don't have a president, we have a king. And we're going to let him get away with any crime. So that is exactly when Congress should, in a bipartisan manner, pursue impeachment. No ands, ifs, or buts. In fact, we had a petition on this a while back, and time to double up on this in a big, big way. It's tytnetwork.com/pardon. And we're saying if Donald Trump pardons anyone from his campaign or administration involved in a Russian investigation, he should be impeached immediately. Because if you let him get away with that, it's all over. that means he can pardon everyone who's guilty and just not step down. There's no end to that, and then we are no longer in a democracy. So Bharara is absolutely right to sound alarm about that. It would be obstruction of justice. It would get him in more legal trouble, but then he would just pardon himself. So the minute he pardons anyone, if he does that in tied to this investigation, it should be obvious, immediate impeachment, and we should all be in the streets. I mean, sign the petition now, but if that happens, we cannot let that stand. That would be deeply un-American and would ruin our form of government. One more here from Bharara.
This argument that Mueller should resign, we're hearing more and more from the president's allies on Capitol Hill, from their obedient vassals in the media. What's your take on it?
Well, it's what a coincidence, right, Jake, that as Bob Mueller is getting his job done, and as he's getting closer to doing something that's real and filing charges, that political allies of the president are calling for his resignation.
Of course they are. And that's part of the reason why they brought up this Uranium One stuff from years and years ago, because they want to be able to say, oh, Mueller was in the administration when that was happening. He's got a conflict of interest, which is something Trump tweeted. Trump is basically manufacturing on Twitter publicly his defense, and then the Sean Hannitys and Fox and Friends and all those guys who are, and a lot of the Republican congressmen are going out there dutifully going, okay, here's how we're going to obstruct justice. The guy investigating the president, who is now found wrongdoing, 12 count indictment against Manafort and Gates, and you've got Papadopoulos that has already pled guilty and turned evidence. It doesn't matter. We're going to try to get rid of the guy doing the investigation, Robert Mueller. If that's not a sign that he's guilty, then you're not paying attention or you don't want to see it. I don't know why you don't want to see it. Maybe because you're a Trump supporter and don't care, or you've just lost your mind. But it is clear that they're in the middle of publicly trying to obstruct justice. There's usually a very good reason for that. It's usually because they're afraid of what they'll get if there actually is justice. All right, I got to take one last break here in this hour. When we come back, the hilarious Fox and Friends reaction to this. You're gonna love it. We'll be right back. All right, back on Young Turks, a couple of tweets for you guys. Don says, love you guys. I'll supply all with dubes when Trump goes out in Denver, of course. Next year in Denver. Okay, needs evidence. Says, man-child Trump is reaching for any distraction he can find. Will Kim Jong-un's next provocation lead to World War III? I hope not, and that is among the things that I am very worried about. The Forgotten Arm says, you all didn't mention that Manafort and Gates are under strict monitoring, i.e. when Trump or a cutout calls to offer a pardon for silence. You know, Trump, who knows? I mean, is he that stupid? Anything is possible. Hey, Paul, I'm calling you in prison. Or actually, he's under house arrest. Okay, hey, I'll give you a pardon if you make sure you don't say anything. Done. They tapped the phones. That would be awesome. All right. Anyways, I got two more things for you guys. Here we go. Now, this morning, obviously, gigantic news with Paul Manafort and Rick Gates from the Trump campaign being indicted, surrendering to authorities, and then George Papadopoulos. Another campaign advisor for the president has turned evidence against him. So the entire internet is buzzing, and Fox News knows this as well. So on Fox and Friends, they're going to talk about the online frenzy. Let's watch.
Emoji causing a frenzy online. We've been talking about it all morning. Can you see what's wrong with this picture? The cheese is underneath the hamburger. Who does that? Compared to competitors, Google appears to be the only tech company putting cheese below the patty.
This is nuclear level distraction. I mean, it is absolutely hilarious. Everybody online is talking about something. No, not about Kevin Spacey. That's another giant issue. Manafort, nope, never heard of him. Gates, no. Papadopoulos, you say Papadopoulos, I say Snuffleupagus. No, the media is and the internet is buzzing about where the cheese goes and the cheeseburger emoji. They're not kidding that they were talking about it all morning. Here's more.
Says location of the cheese on a hamburger is based on which side of the equator you are on. What? south, it goes down under. Okay. All right. Rhonda writes, I worked at a restaurant in my younger days, and we were taught to put the lettuce under the burger to keep the bun from getting soggy. Interesting. Sense. And according to John, he says, as long as the cheese is between the two pieces of bread, it works for me. So I think people
That's
aren't
true. It all tastes the same.
Offended by it.
Way to get to the bottom of that, Jillian. Good work.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Indeed. Hey, Janice. I actually, and you know, it looks bad for Google. I Googled it, and it showed that the cheese should be on top of the burger.
Why don't we have cheeseburgers to try it out?
I'm for that.
Let's order right now.
Okay. I'm glad they're getting to the bottom of really important issues on this Monday morning with unbelievable news. Now, they hadn't gotten their talking points yet. Don't worry, they did. The White House tweeted, and then later they would recover and start to go, oh yeah, this investigation is terrible. I'll get to that in a second, but let's talk about other people's distractions real quick as well. Paul Ryan's asked about it, and he says, quote, people deserve tax breaks. Nothing derails us from focusing on that. That's basically where a lot of our time and attention is focused on right now. In other words, squirrel. And hey, Republican donors, don't panic, don't panic. We're trying to get your tax breaks. Keep Trump in office until we get those tax breaks. Okay, meanwhile, Eric Trump, which I thought he was supposed to be running the business, why is he sending out political emails? But he does to the Trump supporters, and it's titled Still Standing. I'm still standing. They did not include the singing. What do they want? Money, of course. Not for the legal defense fund yet, for the campaign in 2020. Yeah, we'll see if you get there. Anyway, they say, there's a new opposition against my father and this administration every day, but as a loyal supporter, I know you know the truth. In other words, as a loyal supporter of Donald Trump, I know that you don't care about the truth. But anyway, give us money. So now back to Fox News. Later in the day, they've decided, okay, the emoji cheeseburger thing's not working. So what are we gonna do instead? They're gonna do this. Look at this screen grab we got from Fox News. Is that graphic large enough for you guys, that monitor? Robert Mueller, credibility in question. Mueller facing questions over his role as FBI director during Obama-era Russian uranium deal. What did I tell you? I literally made a video about this over the weekend, knowing that they were gonna go in this direction. Because I was wondering, like, why do they keep talking about Hillary and uranium 1 year later? What difference does it make? I was like, oh, they're gonna say Mueller was the head of the FBI during that time and use it as an excuse to attack Mueller. So they finally got that talking point, and then the giant graphic comes into place. And they say, Mueller facing questions. Facing questions from who? You guys, no one else. That is a completely unrelated story, but not on Fox News. On Fox News, that's the main story. So here they are later in the day, here's a mashup.
This comes as Mueller faces growing questions over his credibility leading the probe and potential conflicts of interest.
I think that he has to be very, very careful about making sure that the public believes that he has no conflicts and that his integrity is unquestioned.
I think there are issues here which he's going to have to address, because it is going to involve the investigation of what the FBI was doing and not doing at a critical time during our relationship with Russia when he was head of the FBI.
The New York Post columnist Michael Goodwin put this out. He said, any honest probe must examine the Obama White House and Justice Department. Mueller served as head of the FBI for more than 4 years under President Obama and cannot be expected to investigate his former colleagues and bosses. But without that necessary step, his work would be incomplete at best. So it's time for him to say bye-bye.
Yeah, his point is that he's compromised and he cannot conduct a fair and independent investigation.
By the way, New York Post and Fox News, owned by Rupert Murdoch, a giant ally of Donald Trump. Asking questions, they're just asking questions about whether Mueller should be replaced in the middle of finding incredible evidence of collusion with the Russians and the Trump campaign. And dutifully, of course, Republicans like Chris Christie and Peter King all over television saying, I don't know, man, I don't know, can we really trust this guy? Well, the evidence is already in on Manafort and Gates and Papadopoulos. I know, but squirrel, cheeseburger, emojis. Your desperation to cover up for it only makes the fact that there is a giant story here even more apparent. So as usual, Fox and the Republicans being hilariously counterproductive. Okay, last story in this regard for you guys. this Manafort investigation and the ties to the Russians, both for Manafort and Trump, has gotten another person to step down, unrelated to the Trump team. And it is a last name you might recognize is Tony Podesta. Now, he is a giant lobbyist in Washington, so thrilled to see it happen. I mean, well, interesting that it's happening. Now, he is not John Podesta. That's his brother. John Podesta was the chairman of Hillary Clinton's campaign. We'll get to that in a second. Those two things are not related. But let me give you a sense of what happened here. We're going to go to Politico for this story. Democratic power lobbyist Tony Podesta, founder of Podesta Group, is stepping down from the firm that bears his name after coming under investigation by special counsel Robert Mueller. So it's a nonpartisan investigation. I love it. It should be. If this Democratic lobbyist wound up doing something wrong, go get him, Tiger. Absolutely. Couldn't care less that he's a Democrat. Oh no, a Democratic lobbyist that's corrupt. I didn't see that coming. Anyway, we'll see. We'll see if he's charged at all and what the ramifications are. As Politico explains, Podesta has long been a larger than life figure on K Street, growing his business from a boutique firm into a massive lobbying and public relations operation. He is well known for his flashy dressing, vast art collection, generous campaign donations across all levels of Democratic politics, and of course for his brother John Podesta, Hillary Clinton's campaign chairman. Look, don't hold the sins of the brother against the other one. And look, John Podesta emails were damaging in a lot of ways to their own campaign, and gave us a sense of the Democratic Party in collusion with the Hillary Clinton campaign. But John Podesta not implicated in any of this. But it is interesting that Tony Podesta, taking that name, turning it into raising a lot of money for the Democratic politicians. And in return for what, Tony? In return for favors for the people who are paying him. That is what's wrong with the system. And that's why I say it is a bipartisan, nonpartisan issue. Yes, Republicans get campaign donations. Yes, they get money from lobbyists. So do a lot of Democrats. And that is systemically wrong no matter what the party is. And here's a person in the middle of that legalized corruption. So now when apparently he might have taken some steps outside of the legal parameters, I'm certainly not going to shed a tear if he is caught doing so. So they're going to change the name of the group in a couple of days. He put the current CEO in charge. They'll do a rebrand, just like the tobacco companies do and Blackwater did. It'll still be the same company and everybody but Tony Podesta still handing out favors for the people who hire them, and still building that legalized bribery chain. But look, there's so much legalized bribery allowed. You can give campaign donations, you can do independent expenditures, you can take them to dinner. Why do you have to go outside the bounds? Because they got to make a little bit more money. All right, the investigation into Podesta and his firm grew out of investigators' examination of Manafort's finances. Manafort organized a PR campaign on behalf of a nonprofit called European Center for a Modern Ukraine. Podesta Group was one of several firms that were paid to do work on the PR campaign to promote Ukraine in the US. In other words, that giant slush fund that the Russian oligarchs set up to prop up what was at the time the pro-Russian government of Ukraine went to a lot of folks. It went to Manafort and Gates, according to the allegations we find out today of the 12-count indictment. And apparently, Tony Podesta ain't stepping down for no reason. Okay, they're going to have to drag him out of there, and that's exactly what's happening. Apparently, some of it went to Tony Podesta, and he should have declared, and we'll find out more details later, that perhaps he was representing the government of Ukraine and perhaps Russian oligarchs. Those things were not apparently declared, certainly by Manafort and Gates. Again, I'm now saying for the fourth time, we'll see if he's charged and if he is, what the evidence is. But Podesta confirms that he is not going willingly. He also told staff he doesn't intend to go quietly or learn how to play golf. He said he, quote, needs to fight this as an individual, but doesn't want the firm to fight it. In other words, if the firm is caught with the hand in the cookie jar, as I was, well, then we'll stop making all the money, and we need the money. It's all about the money. So you guys keep making that money, and meanwhile, I'll go fight it as an individual. We'll see if he's successful in that fight. I don't prejudge that. But right now, they obviously have things that are very significant against him. Otherwise, there's no way he steps down from a company called the Podesta Group. We'll see how bad it is later. All right, we got to take a break here. When we come back, we're not anywhere done with massive news today, including John Boehner absolutely going ballistic on current Republicans in the House. We'll tell you all about it. And by the way, Fox News host, it's a great story when we come back.